with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breads on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
438-4643. Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Crack. 1, 2, 3, turn around. Don't you watch me now, just turn around. Touch your knees, don't look, just turn around. Do it now, you make me count. 1, 2, 3,
we're back at the races. Top of the hour, hour two on this Memorial Day. And actually, Johnny D is with us. And it did occur to me as we went to the break, a lot of Monday holidays, Johnny has got pronounced picnic plans and stuff. I was worried maybe that you were off doing one of those kinds of activities.
I am, but I'm still talking to you anyway.
That the ultimate professional.
Yeah, it's been years since I've ducked out on a Monday holiday, but. I know there's another one coming up later, and I'll probably duck out on that one. Or maybe it won't be a Monday. Maybe it'll be like a July 4th kind of thing. But that's not a Monday this year, so I'll probably be talking to you that Monday.
Well, I may
there's
be
no
off.
Way out.
I'm typically off around that.
So, maybe
you haven't
You have your pre-Saratoga vacation, which is well deserved, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, we got it. We've got Tina's got school winding down, and we've got the wedding. We've got Zachary's wedding on the 22nd. So that
correct.
That's going to be a big deal. So It's a little bit of a different. And then I think we're going to take we'll take our usual, you know, end of June, beginning of July respite.
You must feel strange being at home because I mean, this whole spring you've been on the road. This winter and spring you've been on the road.
It's true, and I would say that finally I must have. It took most of the week, actually. It wasn't until about Thursday, Friday, and then this weekend that I sort of. It's funny you say that because I really did feel odd being home, you know, morning after morning. I absolutely did. And then like in the afternoons, I had to go run a bunch of errands and things, you know, the things that get put off. And I did have a strange feeling. I agree. It's funny you say that.
Yeah. I was listening to you talk about the big prices and the outstanding racing on Saturday, and my mouth was watering here, but I didn't get to participate. We had a wedding on Saturday, and so I missed out on all that. It was one of Gail's good friends from culinary school got married, and that was wonderful, and the bride's family was from South Philly. And so Gail and I were fortunate enough to be seated at the table with the bride's mom and dad. And strangely enough, Gail just met Marie at culinary school by happenstance. And it just so happens I knew her father when we were kids. We played Little League baseball against each other, and then we played high school sports against each other. And we had mutual friends. South Philly is such a, well, back then it was such a close-knit, tight neighborhood. You kind of, if you didn't know somebody directly, you kind of knew somebody who knew them or somebody from their parish, or there was always some connection. But I actually knew Marie's father growing up. So we're at the table, and the bride's mother's sister, so the bride's aunt, is sitting across from Gail and her uncle, and we're talking. And we started to, well, what parish are you from? And we started to tie the little loose ends together. And I think between the second and third course, we figured out that the bride's aunt and I were in the same grade school classes together, like third grade through seventh, actually in the same classroom together. I was naming people, she was naming people, and we, how come I don't know you? I don't remember you. So I guess when time passes by for a while, it's hard to remember everyone.
Well, I love that. This is like the second story like this, right? That you didn't you a couple of months ago you regaled us with one of these stories that you turned out you there was somebody that you'd grown up with or that you ran into that was just like this story.
It happens a lot, you know. Like I said, that neighborhood when you've grown up down there, you bump into people all the time. There's some. You kind of get back to the connection somehow. If it's not through the parish, where were you? I was Stella Maris. I was St. Monica. I was, you know, and that kind of brings you, oh, well, then you know, you must know so-and-so. Oh, yeah, you're kidding. It was a great neighborhood.
You can imagine those conversations in the pen, Johnny.
Yeah. Although I
really
don't want to have one. I'm not looking forward to that.
I couldn't resist.
I'm so old now. I sing like a canary.
That's pretty funny. Well, so you didn't play. You lined up to play today. Miss Saturday.
That was the moral of the story. Don't go to a wedding on a fine Saturday in May. You know, it rains all these other days. It couldn't rain that day all across the country. So yesterday I got to play some, and, you know, I
wasn't as interested yesterday.
No, yesterday was not as interesting. Well, I didn't have a choice Saturday. I had to, you know, Sunday I was free. And I have to tell you, it was not as interesting as Saturday, of course. But this part of the conversation is really hard. But I think we talk so many times about different aspects of playing the horses and how to win and how to do this and, you know, what do you use to win? What about when you're losing? And I am in – I've been in a funk now where, you know, it's not – I don't want to blame my handicapping totally, and I don't want to blame my wagering amounts or things, but I'm making mistakes. I'm not putting things together well. Now, part of the demand when you're playing multi-race wagers, pick fours, pick fives, pick sixes, you're going to lose a lot more than you're going to win. That's just that's the fact of life. Just accept that. So, but when you, I right now I'm in such a long, you know, extended streak where I've hit a few. I just can't seem to put it together to get that one bomber that I know is out there waiting for me. But I'm starting to, it's gotten to the point where I'm starting to doubt my ability and my, Do I even know what I'm doing anymore? Has the game passed me by?
I knew that was coming. Has the game passed me by? The famous cry out for help. Has the game passed me by?
What am I missing now? Should I be?
You're missing winners. You're missing the winners.
No, I'm missing putting them together.
I got.
I'm still seeing the ball. I'm still, you know, I don't feel like after the race, I'm like, well, I don't see that. I see that part of it. And I see before the race. I see look, if I narrow it down between two horses right now, I will pick the wrong horse. And I'm confident in that fact that I will pick the wrong one. If I'm building a ticket and I'm between two horses, I will pick the wrong one. Or if I build a pick five and then the next race, I'm still alive, and then the next race I go build a pick four, I will use different horses in those two wagers. Why? So now when you look at it, you see different, and I'll have all the winners, but just on two different tickets. Hmm. So it's idiot. And I know that's idiot. I know that's lunacy. I understand that's crazy. But why? And I was never like that before. Why all of a sudden now? Okay, so you got it. How do you, as a horse player, and I'll tell you what, I'll bet you right now, there are listeners out there saying, man, I know exactly what he's going through. I've been there, pal, you know, because we've all experienced it. And how do you get out of it? What do you do? Now, I've done the requisite. Well, I compare it to my golf game, which also has gone south recently, and I can't play golf anymore. I stink. It's like I've never golfed before. So my two favorite pastimes have left me, and I can't get them back. I'm grabbing at straws. I've started to watch movies now. I just watch movies. I don't watch TV. So I've you know, the golf advice, the best golf advice I got was, and you've heard this is a cliche, you know, you want to help your game, take 2 weeks off and then quit. I've now thought about applying that to racing. Take 2 weeks off and then quit. You know, it's just, and I've taken the time off. You know, sometimes when you're in a slump, it's best to give yourself a break. And then come back a little bit fresh, freshen up a little bit, maybe need a little layoff, go to the farm for a while, lay up for for a little while, and they come back strong. Well, it's kind of hard. It's kind of difficult to lay off. You can lay off wagering, but I can't lay off racing because that's my business. That's what I do. I'm supposed to be an expert at racing, or at least knowledgeable about racing, and I find myself in this position. And that also makes it worse because you think to yourself, man, you're giving people advice. You're talking about the races. And you can't even pick. You can't even put four winners together. So now I take that back. See, again, I take that back because I've hit pick fours. I've hit pick fives. I don't think I've hit too many pick sixes. But I've hit pick fours and pick fives. They just haven't been home runs.
Substantial, yeah.
They've been doubles in the gap, singles, whatever. So that's the point. I'm at the point where I need one of those home runs to help the balance books, you know. But anyway, so how do you get out of it? And besides taking time off, you go back to basics. It's always worked for me before. I pull out. This is no lie. I pull out the Tom Ainsley Guide to Thoroughbred Racing. And I start back, you know, I leaf through it, and I kind of refresh my – because you were, at one point, a decent handicapper, and you used to cash some tickets. So maybe if you go back to your roots, you'll figure out, you know, you'll go back to basics. You know, when we used to have the – you know, we'd get that racing form, you couldn't wait to pop that thing open. You used to have to quit, you know – pop the sides of it open with your fingers, and man, that was a great feeling to dig into that form. And then, you know, I heard Andy Serling talking about the days and the guys waiting for the form to be delivered, and I know guys that used to drive to World the Racing Form headquarters, I guess, at one point in Hightstown, New Jersey. And they used to drive there and get the form. Couldn't wait to get the whole form. So, you know, now, look, I download it. It's all electronic. I'm doing the electronic thing. Is that the problem? No, because I've made nice scores in the electronic age. I also wondered if maybe what else has happened this year. Well, I had a setback, a health setback in January.
That's true.
And that lasted into February. And you know, I went back and I looked at some of my stats, you know, and February was like possibly the worst month I've ever had playing the horses. And when I think back, well, man, you weren't right. You were just not, you know, you may have felt okay, but you just weren't recovered. But I feel good now. I feel like I'm recovered now. What's my excuse? You get it. You start to, when you're in this side of this, you start to examine what's past and what might be causing this. And am I not doing the work? Am I not putting in enough time like I used to? Am I, you know, you start to examine every single thing. And I remember back to, you know, Andy Byers' book specifically, because that was I mentioned Ainsley was my basic, and then you got into Davidowitz and Byer. For so many people of my generation or age, that's where, you know, the early stuff came, and then you went to Quinn, and you know the sheets made their appearance, and it was like this. Oh, well, here's a new way to do it. And, you know, Thoroughbred became a part of my normal handicapping arsenal. But you go back, like I go back to Ainsley and then Byer, and Byer talks about how this game at times will make you wonder, and I'm paraphrasing certainly, will make you wonder about everything. About if a horse player has any weakness, this game will find it and bring it out.
It'll exploit it. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
But that's basically what he said, and that is the case. That is really the case. And so, you know, when people say, oh, you play the horses. Yes, I play the horse. Oh, do you win all the time? God, no. Are you crazy? I don't win all the time. But when I do, man, it's the greatest feeling around me. When you cash a nice bet that you've worked hard on and you've actually sorted it out and you watch and it all happens the way you thought it was going to happen, that's like the sweetest feeling around. I know chemically and scientifically they tell you what, you know, happens when you're gambling and things change in your body and all that. But it's funny because I don't like the other games that much. I don't play craps. I don't play blackjack. I don't play poker. I enjoy horse racing. So why doesn't it enjoy me back? Anyway, we'll get this all figured out. I'll talk to you next week, and I will have hit one out of Connie Mack Stadium over the Long Jean sign or the Coca-Cola sign where Dick Allen used to hit him.
a couple of reactions, I just will use this weekend, and I played the cross country, and I played the late multi-sequences at Belmont and Churchill, and I was on my heels right away at Churchill, and also to some extent I wasn't in terrible shape right away at Belmont, but I got a little bit defensive because, you know, I had mentality to start the, you know, the late sequence, and then the Cassie Furster that won the maiden fetching was a C, so that put me in a little bit of trouble. But by the time, you know, by the time we got to the feature, in particular in New York, I pretty much was done from the multis. And as a result, Johnny, I ended up with the best hit of the weekend in that Paradise Creek because I was all over Pulsate. Pulsate to me was the Roboto was going to be a really good price horse to play around with in that stake. And I wasn't anti Mucho, but I was only going to play Mucho defensively. So my selections, I put Polesetter on top, who I thought if he took to grass, he was going to have an advantage from a pace standpoint up front. And, you know, as it turned out, even though he got plenty of pressure and went fast, he was really up to it. I mean, he ran tremendous to win this going away. And Pulsate got a terrific ride from Manny Franco to be second at 17-1. And as a result, ended up with a really nice set of exotics here that pretty much paid for everything. It was $150 exacta, for God's sakes. And the nice thing about this was, in this particular case, I was pretty much out of everything on the multi-front. And, you know, I'd come back and played a couple of small pick threes, you know, just to kind of reboot a little bit. But, my swing for the fences were over. So I ended up, you know, paying for the whole day with these results. And I think it just speaks to what we talk about on the big days and on Breeders' Cup, where, you know, we remind people you'll do easily as well pairing back. If you're a pick four player, you know, play pick threes and doubles. If you're a pick three player, you know, play doubles. If you're a super player, you know, pair back a little and play tries. You know, the field size and so forth is going to offset that. We remind people, but it's equally true at any time when you're struggling. And you know, another piece of advice when people write and have asked me, you know, I'm struggling and I'm not winning now, and it's been an extended period. One of the things I suggest to people that I do as well when I get cold is to basically make paper bets for whatever, 3 days, a week, 2 weeks, until you start to cash the paper bets and then wade back in. You know, and if it takes a month sometimes, so be it. If it takes, you know, 3 weeks, do whatever it takes.
You know what? I did that. It was a couple of years ago. I was in a real slump, and I took your advice, and I did that with a paper bet, and I did really well. I took them into the bank, and I said, "Hey,
look
in my account.
look at these paper. Look at these bets I made on paper. I'm up 1,700.
I didn't understand. They threw me out of the bank." No, you're right. You're absolutely right. That is a great way. And the thing is, you have to write down the exact bet. You can't like just say, I was going to bet that horse. No, you got to write it down
and keep track. Yep.
By the way, you will win so much money that you want to wear so much paper money. You won't know where to put it all.
Well, but that also there's actually a lesson in that too, and that lesson is that there's nothing mechanically wrong with the way you're seeing things, and even potentially the way you're structuring bets, but that there's what that's telling you is if you're cashing those those conceptual bets, that's telling you that there's a fear factor. That you're playing scared, and there's obviously other financial pressures probably, and you're concerned about using money that you don't think you really can afford, and that's a completely different message. And frankly, yeah, it's worth reminding that if that part of the equation creeps in, then pull back, recognize that you're playing scared, and that's no way to play. You cannot. There's no way to win if that is in the back, of your mind, whether you're conscious of it or not. You can't win.
Correct. You know, there's an old saying in racing: "Scared money never wins." And that's in gambling. That's throughout gambling. It's scared money never wins. And I always like to amend it with: "And terrified money loses all the time." But, and everything you said is absolutely correct. I agree with 100%. In addition to that, because if it's not the money, what also is in operation is just a losing streak, just a slump. And it may not even be the financial, because it goes truthfully, a long time ago I learned, you have your what is it? Don't gamble your eating money. So I don't, I keep it pretty separate. So this is not scared money, but it's frustrated money. You know, it's the losing streak. It's the inability to win that's got me. It's not the fear, because I'm good about not going where I shouldn't go financially. I'm good about that. But the problem I have is it's the losing that's getting to me. It's just, You know what else it is? And maybe these are my issues. I might have to pay you for this therapy I'm getting today. But when I compare it to my golf game, that, as I mentioned, Missouri also gone south. It's gotten to the point now where people invite me to play and I say no. And the reason is I'm embarrassed. I mean, that's how badly I feel now. I'm embarrassed to be. And they say, well, we don't care. Just come play. It makes me feel bad. I don't care about you. It makes me feel bad. I'm embarrassed. I've actually avoided playing with friends because of how poorly I'm playing, because I don't want to be embarrassed. And I'm hoping this is a temporary thing, but that's something. I've got a bum hip. Maybe maybe that had something to do with it. But, you know, it's all kind of going, fading into the distance here. I'm being eased. But you know what? It's early. Look, it's only May, and it's late May, by the way, but it's still May, and there's a long summer ahead, and I will fix. I went and took a lesson, too. I can't remember the last time I took a golf lesson. I need to take a handicapping lesson somewhere. But it's early, and I'm going to come back around, just like I'm going to start cashing tickets. It's on the horizon, and there's going to be some wonderful days coming up. You know, I asked a guy one time, a really sharp horse player that I knew, very, very sharp, cagey, the cagey kind of guy, cagey vet. And I asked him, I said, do you ever go into slumps? Do you ever have a, you know, losing streaks? He said, absolutely. He said, they're terrible, they're horrible. I said, well, how do you, you know, what mindset do you have? How do you get out of it? He said, when I'm losing, he said, I just look at it this way. I'm lending the racetrack money, and they're going to pay me back with interest. I like that.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I mean, and I espouse that philosophy when it comes to the, you know, to the disqualifications. I try to have a, you know, a stoic and you know, just a shrug it off mentality that, you know, when the time comes, that you either even out or come out slightly ahead, I'll be happy. And I still got quite a few to make up for that one at Del Mar a few summers ago, where, you know, I got taken down from a, you know, from a 20, basically a $25,000 pick six score. And it was 50-50 watching it, and I wasn't going to be surprised. Would it be happy if it stayed up? I wasn't going to be surprised if we got taken down. And there was nothing. The call was right. And that's been my fault. Whenever we've had these controversial things, I bring that out because I think it's germane. Some of these are out of your control, and they're all out of your control unless, you know.
You know, you mentioned these fans. Part of this, like, you look at the Derby disqualification. Well, that's a nice pick five hit for me. And, you know, I don't feel like I'm in a slump anymore. Everything is perfect. I'm not crying right now in my suit if that horse stays up in the Derby. So the first horse to come down in 145 years, and now I'm in a slump. Okay, all right, I was in a slump, but my slump continues. So it was my fault, right? Then the other day, I played a race, and the two horses I used in Exacta, one of them lost the rider at the start, and the other one clipped heels and stumbled and was eased. And that's, you know, I mean, everybody was fine. Nobody was injured. Everybody's fine. It's just, but that's kind of the case when you know, when you start to see these things happening, you know you're in the midst of, you're mired in something. You're at a level where you need witchcraft now to get you out of this. You need voodoo dolls or something because you're in the midst.
Well, you need case. You need you need Eric Guillo. You need that. You're in Guillo territory now.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, well, I'm glad I got that all off my chest. I feel much better now, Doctor. The check's in the mail, and you know the way you say that everything evens out in the long run, and that's probably true because many years ago, too many for me is. Remember cheerfully, my first ex-wife mumbled to me as I was, I think, departing or had already departed, one or the other. she said to me, you know, you're gambling. She said, when you die, you'll probably end up dead even. I said, you know what? I'll take that. I'll take that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Although as I've gone through it in my mind over the decades, if that's the case, I got a couple of huge scores coming up in the future to even the balance sheet.
Well, you know, for Johnny, for those that have lost, either lost track or don't know, how many former Miss DeSantis's are there?
Well, no, this is the third.
Just the one?
This is the third, and she's great. She's fabulous. That the first two weren't. Don't misunderstand me. I made plenty of mistakes. I'm not blaming anyone more than me. But this third one, you know, and maybe the fact that I've lost most of my teeth at this point probably makes me a little less dangerous too. But it's working out, this third one. And you know what else is working out, Steve? The Express Bet.
Oh, here, nice segue. Nice.
Wager guy. Thank you. The Express Bet Belmont wager guy, a free Express Bet Belmont wager guy. And don't worry, folks, I don't make any picks from the guy. So if you're worried about the slump continuing, like I just listened to this guy cry about how bad his picks are. And remember, I didn't say my picks were bad. I just said I wasn't cashing tickets. There's a difference. But the guide has Bob Neumeier, Millie Ball, Jeff Siegel, John White, Dick Girardi, and your host, Steve Dick. And we're going to have Zoe Cabin's going to analyze workouts for the Belmont Stakes. These guys are all going to look at the race through main contenders, long shot possibilities. They're going to give you wagering strategies. There's a handy exotic wagering chart in there to help you figure out your bets. If you want to, how much does it cost to do a trifecta key, one horse with five others? Well, we've got a chart in there that shows you. But if you want to do a superfecta wheel, one horse with all, depending on the field size, we give you a couple of variations on the chart so you can see that. This guide has got great stats and trends in it. Belmont winners in prior Triple Crown races. If you want to see where the Belmont winners came from, we've got them from 2000 to 2018. Most Belmont wins by trainer, by jockey. We've got final preps for the last 10 Belmont winners. Some different races. Kentucky Derby, the Dwyer, the Tessio, Ruler and Ice. Came out of the Tessio was second. Of course, the Derby several times. Peter Pan, Totalist, won the Peter Pan. American Pharoah and Justify came out of the Preakness. So you get just kind of a reminder. I mean, this is stuff that we all know, but it's great to see it, kind of laid out for you specifically. Last 40 Belmont winners. We looked at the last 40 Belmont winners, and these stats are provided by Jeremy Plunk, who, if you listen to the show, you're certainly familiar with. The last 40 Belmont winners, 15 of them skipped the Derby and the Preakness. 13 of them raced in the Derby and Preakness. 11 of them raced in the Derby and skipped the Preakness. And one skipped the Derby and ran in the Preakness. Those are, you know, I find that incredibly interesting to look at those stats, because we've got almost the same amount. Whether you skip the Derby and the Preakness and you're a fresh face in the Belmont Stakes, or if you've made both dances and you show up in the Belmont Stakes, it's almost equally divided, 15 to 13. What you don't want to do is skip the Derby and run in the Preakness. because your chances in the Belmont are not good. It's only happened one time out of the last 40. So you get my drift. There's lots of great stuff in the free Belmont Stakes wager guide presented to you by ExpressBet. It's available at ExpressBet Friday, and that's where you can start your Belmont handicapping. Look, the draw is not till next Tuesday, but at least you can get a get a background. I just read these stats, find out what these experts think about the race, and then they'll update their thoughts after the draw. If the draw should change the way they think, or if the weather or whatever, workout, late workouts, whatever's going on, they'll give you updates bring you up to speed. So make sure you get the guide. If you've gotten our guides before, you know how well done they are, and they're really informative. And I know I like to go through and look at all these trends and see how they fit into my analysis of the race. And who knows? The Belmont might be my breakout appearance.
There you go. There you go. Well, it's going to be three terrific days of racing. I just started. In fact, I just sent out. I just sent you the Belmont PPs, and I just started looking at them this morning. We did have. Probably won't get them today now. But Mike Welch, if you missed Mike's notes and Dave Grenick's too about Tacitus and his work, Tacitus very sharp this weekend preparing for Belmont and. Welsh certainly has seen him straight through and feels like Tacitus will even potential. I saw David Aragona had a little poll asking who people thought would go favored, Tacitus or War of Will. And you would think War of Will, but Tacitus will be in close proximity. Well, at the same time, Johnny, we all expected Improbable and War of Will to be closer in odds. In Preakness, so the betting profile of these classics certainly have gotten strange right now. And I should also mention for people that might not have seen it between Friday and this morning, Game Winner not going to participate. If you weren't aware of that, but we do have the new name kind of replacing Jovia, the Greg Sacco runner. So we're still using a number 10 of potential runners right now, and we'll see if anybody wants to jump in. But it looks like 10.
And also what you mentioned, there's several days there, the festival, the racing festival, it's going to be, and the Met Mile. Ali Frazier 1, 2, and 3.
The only one participant all the way through, War of Will, but four Derby participants, Master Fencer, Tax, Tacitus, and Spinoff, and Preakness participants, 1, 2, Everfast, and Owendale. So, nice. It's a nice, like you were hinting, two Peter Pan runners, Sir Winston and Intrepid Heart. Feels like Master Fencer is a horse that you're going to have to make a determination on. He's going to be a linchpin horse because in a lot of ways he ran a dynamite race when there was really no right for him to in the Derby. So
you've got no right to run that well.
Exactly. Johnny, a very pleasant Memorial Day to you and Gail. I saw Gail was already. I saw she was pictured by the grill already, so she's been busy.
She's the best. Yeah. She grilled up a cup of chicken for us. It was great. We're down here in beautiful Cape May.
Nice.
New Jersey.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well,
celebrating this wonderful holiday, and of course we do want to remember our servicemen and women that have contributed to our freedom. It's so special. So special. This is we struggle sometimes, but this is still the greatest country in the world. And every time I travel, I can't wait to get back home. And those servicemen and women, they wanted to make sure that our freedom remained. And it still remains today. Although, we got to keep fighting for it, though. It's still here.
No doubt. Johnny D, everybody. XB Johnny D, as always. Johnny, we'll talk next week. It'll be Belmont week.
All right, Stevie, by then I'll have a different story.
You'll be riding high.
Yeah. Shot down in May.
You've already been shot down in May, so you got to riding high in June. You're going to have to work on.
There you go. All
right.
Take care. Have a great holiday, you and Tina. Even though you're working, you'll be done soon.
Well, and you're going to cash a ticket on Friday. You're going to cash the best future wager any of us ever had. That was wagering that we would get a Deadwood movie to tie it all up.
Is that going to be fun or what?
I've even got Tina climbing. Tina's all over it. We're watching all three seasons again.
I've seen it so many times. I just love it. I just love Deadwood. I just love it. And David Milch, of course I know from the racetrack, and he helped me out at a time in my life when I needed it. He gave me a shot to do some stuff and to do some work, and I will never forget that. And very few people extend themselves, the way David has to, not just me, but many, many people. So I wish him all the best, and I can't wait to see David.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Johnny D. XB Johnny D, everybody. And there's a nice image on Twitter in Johnny's that I put up on Johnny's behalf. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Nick Tamaro is going to swing in. We'll do some recapping. Nick bet, so Johnny didn't have to. And we'll also handicap a little with Nick for the big Monday cards. A little bit after that, we've got John Ortiz swing through his nice stake win in the winning colors. John White to look at the stakes at Santa Anita today, and Marcus Hirsch to go through the Pimlico Rainbow Six Foursquare. Back after this.